Okay, track 8, Vitihadath, entitled Mount Zion at the 11th hour. This is where we're at. We're going to do a little review on page 22 of that chapter. All right. On page 22, the last paragraph of page 21, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth at the time of the seating of the 144,000, holding the four winds of the earth, and the wind, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Yahweh. And he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels, unto whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, so we have sealed the servants of our Yahweh in their foreheads. Galatians 7, 1 to 3. Here is brought to you two hurtings about to take place, one by the winds, the other by the angels, and two commands unto the angels. One, that they restrain the wind, that the wind should not, that the winds blow not on the earth, nor on the tree, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, Galatians 7:1. The other is that the angels refrain themselves from hurting the earth, sea, and the trees. All I tell the servants of the Yahweh are sealed, Revelation 7:7-3. Since therefore, as soon as the servants of Yahweh are sealed, both the winds and the angels will begin to hurt. For the question arises as unto what does the work of the winds and of the wind and the work of the angels represent political strife or something else. As the nations have always been at war, this twofold work of the hurting could not represent political strife, and as the Yahshua said that at the time of the end, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, Matthew 24:7. It is clear that the hurting by the wind, also the hurting by the angels, both of which are kept back until the 144,000 are a seal, must be figurative of the holding back of a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Daniel 12:1. Accordingly, Yahweh, restraining of the four winds, is his holding back of the image of the beast activity, Revelation 13:15-17, against the saints, while his restraining of the four angels that they hurt not is his holding back of the executing of vengeance. Isaiah 63:1-4, Jeremiah 51:18, upon the sinners who trouble of the church until after the sitting of the 144,000 is completed. Jeremiah 31:18. Upon the sinners who trouble the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and that's your Catholic infiltrators that are troubling the saints there in the Adventist Church, until after the sitting of the 144,000 is completed, being coupled, these two hurting during the time of the trouble such as never was. Now it says that Revelation 7:1-3, therefore reveals a twofold conflict. Wicked men against Yahweh, the blowing of the winds, and Yahweh against them, the angels hurting them. But through the blowing of the winds and the hurting of the angels after the servants of Yahweh or Seah will bring the time of trouble, yet everyone that shall be found written in the book shall be delivered. Daniel 12:1. From these facts we see that this time of the trouble is held back in the order to safeguard the sealing of the 144,000 servants. Thus say, the very elect be brought down to worship the image of the beast, or be killed for refusing. Since in the Revelation, all the books of the Bible meet an end, the Acts of the Apostles, 585, the sealing of the servants of the Yahweh, Daniel 7, must necessarily be found also in the prophecies. In the Ezekiel chapter 9 is envisioned the marking of those who sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. In Judah and in Israel, and the slaughter of those who do not thus sigh and cry, and the fact that Yahweh has at the time taken the sinners from among the righteous in Judah, that's the lawgiver. Genesis 49:10, prophecy on that. A scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. And so a shadow come, and that's Yahshua, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Shows that the prophecy of the purification by the slaughter has never been fulfilled. So therefore, as the marking is the same as the sealing, the angel slain is the same as the angel hurting. This hurting and sealing which John saw, and the slaughter, and the marking which Ezekiel saw, and again are again identified as the one and the same. This sealing of the service of the Yahweh is the same thing that was shown unto Ezekiel in a vision. Testimony to Ministers, page 445, Testimony, volume 5, page 211, and volume 3, page 267. Although the marking and the slaughter, Ezekiel 9, include only the SDA church, Judah and Israel, the hurting by the wind and the hurting by the anger, Revelation 7, includes all the world, both the earth, the United States, and the sea, the old world. Each of which is indicative of a different locality. The sea in the realm of the nature, the storehouse, home of the water, is therefore in the realm of the symbol, the birthplace of the nation, the only country the earth, the opposite of the sea, is correspondingly a domain away from the old country. It is located under John and the symbol of the two horned beasts coming up, not out of the sea, but out of the earth. Revelation 13:3-11. For the only place where trees naturally grow, and as the, according to Daniel 4:20-22, trees are figurative of the rulers. Therefore, the trees in the instance represent the ancient man before the house. Ezekiel 9:6. A fact which reveals that in this period, the Seventh-day Adventist Church's headquarters are in the two-horned beast's dominion. The new world and the earth and prophecy. Now this earth and prophecy is called in the new world. In the light of the clear-cut facts before us, we see that the main object of the sealing or marking of the servants of Yahweh is to cleanse the church from sin and sinners, so that she may be able to stand strong against the image beast in the time of the trouble. Now this is what we're in right now. And that when this purifying work is completed, it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that is remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem, when the Yeshua, son of Yahweh, shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of the Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of the judgment and by the spirit of the burning. Isaiah 4, 3 and 4. When this special work of the purification, of the putting away of the sin among Yahweh's people, is accomplished, then the church is to enter upon her final conflict. Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. She is to go forth into all of the world, conquering and to conquer. The Great Controversy, 425, Prophets and Kings 7:25. And the Yahshua will create upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion, and upon her assemblies a cloud, and a smoke by the day, and a shining of a flaming fire by the night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shelter, and the daytime from the heat, and for a place of the refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from rain. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, and thou shalt be called sought out as a city not forsaken, Isaiah 4, 5, 6, 62, 12. For the entire Seventh-day Adventist church, acting as one, blending in the perfect union, is to be a living, active missionary agency, moved and controlled by the Holy Spirit. All that the apostles did, every church member today is to do. His workers will then see eye to eye, and the arm of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, with the power of which was seen in the life of Yahshua, will be revealed. Testimonies, volume 8, page 47. Volume 7, page 33, and volume 9, page 33. Then it shall come to pass, saith the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, that I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the Seventh-day Adventist heathen, the terrorists, that were in the Adventist church before the separation of the wheat from the tares, which you have profane in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahshua, the son of God, saith Yahshua, and I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land, Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all of your filthiness, and from all of your idols, and will I cleanse you. For a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. I will also save you from all of your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more a reproach of the famine among the heathen. Let's read this last paragraph again of chapter on page 28. It says, since both of these cleansing, moreover, took place at the feast of the Passover, and since also all who had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, 2 Chronicles 30 verse 3, Ezekiel or Exodus 12, 3 to 6, were forbidden to participate in the Passover in the first month, but were permitted to prepare for it and for the celebrating of the Passover in the second month, Numbers 9:11, 2 Chronicles 30 verse 13. Thereby is typified by the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the two sections, thus showing still again that there are two gatherings, two sealings, three separations, and companies, or two companies. That's the first phrase and the second phrase for the future treatment of the two sealings. See our tract number one, the pre-11th hour extra, and for the antitype of the Passover, the Shepherd Rod, volume 2, page 256. There must be, says the spirit of the prophecy, a cleansing of the institutions similar unto the Yahshua's cleansing of the temple of the old. It is written, saith the Yahshua, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. There are in our institution today transactions similar unto those that take place in the temple courts in the Yahshua's time. And all heaven is looking on whether Yahshua will work to purify his church. I will tell you in the truth that the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, is about to turn and overturn in the Seventh-day Adventist institutions called by his name. just how soon this heavy planning process will begin, I cannot say, but it will not be long deferred. He whose plan is in his hand will cleanse his temple of its moral defilement. He will thoroughly purge his floor, brethren, and responsible positions. September 1895, Sister White wrote that statement, and a parabolical preview of the purification of the church, Yahshua declared, "For the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just." Matthew 13:49. Take away the wicked and leave the good. Whereas in the Revelation addressing his own and the Babylon, he says, "Come out of her, my people," Revelation 18:4, calling the righteous out and leaving the wicked in. For the former are purified by the wicked being cast out from among them. For the latter, by their being taken out from, let's do that again. For the former are purified by the wicked being cast out from among them, with the latter, though, by their being taken out from among the wicked. Also, there are two distinct parables of the talent, Matthew 25:15-30, Luke 19:13-27, both of which pointedly entered the picture in its present sitting. In the one are the three servants, and the other are the ten servants. For this significant difference shows that the former, the three servants, has only a local application, that would be in the United States exclusively, whereas with the latter, has a worldwide application, 10 being a universal number, incidentally showing as does the latter has a worldwide application, incidentally showing as does the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2, page 85 and 86, that in the scriptures, number 10 stands for universality, and number 3 for the Trinity in the church. Now, for these unalterable truths of the type and parable, and the word of the testimony bring us face to face with the solemn reality that we are come unto the time of the antitypical Passover and cleansing of the temple of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and for the harvesting of the world, and this takes place in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now, Reach the Harvest. He was in the 10th parabolic hour when he wrote this, in 1931 or 32, let's continue on. For the great and dreadful day, with the great and dreadful day of Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, with the Spirit of the Yahweh bids us with the awful solemnity, get ready, for the fierce anger of the Yahshua is soon to come. His wrath is to be poured out unmixed with mercy, and you are not ready. And rend the heart and not the garment, early writings, page 119. Oh, that no one be misled into thinking that after the close of probation, or after the second coming of Yahshua, after the sinners in the world had been destroyed, that the Yahweh the Father's church shall attain unto the exalted standard of the character, and unto the high office appointed of the heaven, and be purified from sin and sinners. On the contrary, in that day, therefore, the sinners in the world have been destroyed. Says Yahshua, will I make Jerusalem a burdensome a stone for all people? All that burden then says that it shall be cut in pieces. Do all the people of the earth be gathered together against it? And that day shall Yahshua defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of the David shall be as Yahweh the Father, as the angel of the Yahweh the Father before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all of the nations that come against Jerusalem. And that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Yahweh, and the pots in the Yahweh's house shall be like unto the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah. The Jerusalem is where the leadership lives, and Judah is the outline residence where the people, the citizens live. Shall be holiness unto the Yahshua the host, that's the Son of Yahweh, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seize therein, and in that day there shall be no more of the Canaanite in the house of the Yahshua of the host. Zechariah 12:3-9, 14:20-21. I said, for these verses especially declare that the church will be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. This is the church of David, house of David. This is who we are. During the time of the trouble, when the nations shall gather against her, and the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, in the vengeance shall then smite them, for the probation still lingering, while this sequence of the event takes place, all they that sacrifice an act which is performed before the close of the probation shall therefore be holy, and there shall be no more of the Canaanite in the house of the Yahweh. Every true Bible student knows that the church must reach the purification of the heart and character and position, not after, but before the Yahshua's mediatorial work is finished in the sanctuary above, and before the sacrifice, the spiritual sacrifice has ceased. And Yahshua is the spiritual sacrifice. All such students know also that Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, can neither manifest his great power for the defending of them in the time that all of the people of the earth are gathering together against him, nor bestow his spirit upon them as he did upon the early apostolic believers on the day of the Pentecost, if there are sinners among the people. And if the entire church be not with one accord, Acts 2:1, clad in the armor of Yahshua's righteousness, clear as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners, as was the apostolic church upon which the Spirit descended as a rushing mighty wind. Acts 2:2. Only those of the prophecy, says the Spirit of the prophecy, who have withstood and overcome temptation through the strength of the mighty one, and will be permitted for the acting of a part and the proclaiming of this message when it shall have swelled into the loud cry. Review and Herald, November 19, 1908. And that the loud cry shall not sound on time or at all. Those who, let's read that again. And that the loud cry fail not to sound on a time or at all unto those who do not overcome. Those who have betrayed their trust for the ancient men, which are your prophets that are in charge of the candlestick of the church, those unto whom Yahweh has given great light, and who has stood as a guardian of the spiritual interest of the people, must be removed. This is forcibly set forth by the prophets. Illustration of the last work with the figure of the man, each having a slaughter weapon in his hand. That's Testimony, Volume 3, page 266. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. And that's in Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. Confronted with the towering certainty of the churches imminent. Let's do that again. Being confronted with the towering certainty of the Seventh-day Adventist Church's imminent purification by the sealing and by the subsequent glory, we hasten for the facing of the church's condition just before the purification. It says, what greater deception can come upon the human minds than a confidence that they are right when they are all wrong? For the message of the true witness finds the people of the Yahweh in a sad deception, yet they are honest in that deception, for they know not that their condition is deplorable in the sight of the Yahweh, while those addressed are flattering themselves that they are in the exalted spiritual condition, for them, with the message of the true witness, for the message of the true witness breaks their security by the startling denunciation of the true condition of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness for the testimony so cutting and severe cannot be a mistake, for it is a true witness who speaks, and his testimony must be correct. Testimony, Volume 3, page 252 and 253. Who can truthfully say that our gold is tried in the fire, that our garments are unspotted by the world? For I saw our institutions pointing unto the garments of the so-called righteousness, stripping them off, he laid bare the defilement beneath. Then he said unto me, can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up the defilement and rottenness of their character? How is a faithful city becoming hallowed, where my father's house is made a house of merchandise, a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed? For this cause there is weakness, and strength is lacking. Testimony, Volume 8, page 250. For the ancient men, those unto whom Yahweh had given great light, and who had stood as the guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, had betrayed their trust, for these dumb dogs that would not bark are as the ones who feel of the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. For it is difficult for those who feel secure in their attainments and who believe themselves to be rich in the spiritual knowledge to receive the message which declares that they are deceived and in the need of every spiritual grace. The unsanctified heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Testimony, Volume 3, page 253. There are many who do not have the discretion of the Joshua, and who have no special duty for the searching out of the wrong, and for the dealing prominently with the sins existing among them. Let not such hinder those who have the burden of the work upon them. Let them not stand in the way of those who have this duty to do. Some make it a point for the questioning and for the doubting and for the finding fault with the others, because they do not the work that Yahweh has not laid upon themselves, for these stand directly in their way for the hand of those upon whom Yahweh has laid the burden of the reproving and correcting, prevailing sins that has that his frown may be turned away from the people, should a case like the Achans be found among us. There are many who would accuse those who might act the part of the Joshua in the searching out of the wrong, and of the having a wicked fault-finding spirit, for the Yahweh is not to be trifled with, and his warning disregarded with impunity by a perverse people. Okay. First container. It says, for Yahweh's Yahweh's displeasure is upon his people, and he will not manifest his power in the midst of them while sins exist among them and are fostered by those in the responsible position. Those who work in the fear of the Yahweh for the ridding of the church of the hindrances and for the correcting of the grievous wrong, that the people of the Yahweh may see of the necessity for the abhorring of the sin and may prosper in the purity, and thus the name of the Yahweh may be glorified wherever meet with the resisting influences from the unconsecrated Zephaniah. Thus describe the true state of this class and the terrible judgment that will come upon them. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with the candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees that say in their heart that the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, will not do good, neither will he do evil. For the great day of the Yeshua is near. For it is near and hastens greatly, even the voice of the day of the Yeshua. And that's the voice of the Antichrist Elijah. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. When a crisis finally comes, as it surely will, and Yahweh speaks in the behalf of his people, those who have sinned, those who have been a cloud of the darkness, and who have stood directly in the way of the Yahweh's working for his people, may become alarmed at the length they have gone in the murmuring and in the bringing discouragement upon the cause, and like the Achans becoming terrified, they may acknowledge that they have sinned, but their confessions are too late and are not of the right kind for the benefiting of themselves, although they may relieve the cause of the Yahweh. Those who have been nearly all their lives controlled by a spirit has fallen under the spirit of Yahweh, as well as the Achans, will be very passive when the time comes for the decided action on the part of all, for they will not claim to be on either side. Testimony, Volume 3, page 272. We have been inclined with the thinking that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true believers. But this is not the case. For the Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take. For the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take the charge of the flock himself. For the Yahshua has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality. That the days of the purification of the Seventh-day Adventists are hastening on, a taste, for Yahweh will have a people pure and true, and a mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be better able for the measurement of the strength of Israel, for the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, will manifest as his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Those who have trusted unto intellect, genius, or talent will not then stand at the head of the rank and power, for they did not keep pace with the light. Those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock. And the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged, for they are self-sufficient, independent of Yahweh, and he can not use them. For the Yahshua has a faithful servant who in the shaking, testing time will be disclosed to you. There are the precious ones now hidden who have not bowed the knee unto Baal, for they have not had the light that has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you, but it may be with a rough and uninviting exterior that the pure brightness of a genuine character will be revealed. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80-81. For the foregoing series of the statements show that the church must be cleansed before the rest of the Yahweh's people are gathered out of all countries. Then in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of the Judah and Jerusalem, says the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, that I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of the Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Joel 3, 1 and 2. But to be delivered from the captivity and for the hearing of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, plead there for his people, one dare not spurn now his pleadings. For they say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot, and many lovers that return again unto me, saith the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lain with. In the ways hast thou set for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain for the Seventh-day Adventist up to 1930. And thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Now that's talking about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father? Thou art the God of my youth. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, and I will cause mine anger to fall upon you.
I will not.
I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am a merciful, saith Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against Yahshua, thy Savior and Redeemer, and has scattered thy ways unto the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. Turn, O backsliding children, Seventh-day Adventists, saith Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. For I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you unto Zion, and I will give you pastures according unto mine heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith to Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, for they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Yahshua, neither shall it come unto your mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. At that time they shall call Yerushalayim as the a throne of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, that's on the throne of David, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, unto the name of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, unto Jerusalem, us in Jerusalem proper, to the, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of the evil heart. And there is the house of the Judah shall walk with the house of the Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north unto the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers, Jeremiah 3:1-4 and 12-18. Now this thing then, let's get this all contacted at the level of our call at number 11. Click on our audio archive, hear this message, and more. We're going to close now with a song.